And Jason Kahn's on the line for the best 5 minutes of the day. Good morning, Mr. Neuropsychologist.
Good morning.
So you did it. You got your Wordle, I bet, today, number 366, a full leap year worth, huh?
I did. Yep, got it this morning as well. And so I've played many more times than that, but one of my goals was to try and not lose for a straight year, and that has been the case, that I've been able to do that. So,
and I stand amazed, because here's the deal. Like, I think my best streak was 37, but the things that can throw you off, like apparently yesterday for me, I've gone to the Jason Kahn School of Wordle training, so I have the first three words to use. And then I think I kind of left it, and I did not go back to it. So today I'm like, what? I thought streak is it. I know. I thought I was in the 20-somethings, and that kind of stuff can happen.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you have to be diligent. You know, there's a... I mean, that's partly why I don't ever want to travel without my phone, because what if I can't keep playing Wordle? So...
Hey, we did get a nice comment from Keith yesterday in Owen, and he's so kind. And he said, good morning, Mark. I enjoy so much your best 5 minutes of the day with Jason. It's all about relationships and love that comes from God and sharing it with others.
Man, that's good stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, and thank you, Keith, for that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We love feedback.
And I hope that's the message that people hear, that relationships are and love are what matter here, so.
And that is what matters, and that is what counts, and that is what's important. So, I like to say from, I always forget the name of the author of Delighting in the Trinity, but he clued me into
Michael Reeves.
Michael Reeves, thank you. I'll remember it now. But it's the idea that God is love because God is Trinity, and that was just a great statement, I thought.
Yeah, you know, I came across that again the other day. Oh, I think I was reading something I had shared last year or the year before about this Celtic Christianity approach. Uh-huh. And that was one of the tenets they really talk about, is the importance of Trinity. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and again, I think we see that in their symbolism. And I really hope that is something that we're able to highlight, because love exists within inside the Trinity and is a good model for us as well.
Right. I mean, and so the idea of God is a relational, loving God. Actually, I got this, interestingly enough, from Tim Tebow, at least. Well, I've had this thought, but I heard him actually say, you are created in love, and, you know, created by a loving, relational God, and you're invited into relationship with that loving relationship God. So.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's good stuff. Good thoughts.
All right, well, tell you what, yesterday I think we came up even a little short of 5 minutes. We could maybe do it again, but let's do, it's just one verse today, Acts 1:6.
Yeah, it says, so when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom?
That's it. And in your devotional commentary, Letters to the Beloved, where you kind of imaginarily thought, God, what are you trying to say to me through this? And then you wrote it down. So verse 6, even after all that they had witnessed with my son, they were still learning. They asked him, Lord, is now the time you will restore the kingdom to Israel? They continued expecting that my kingdom would operate in the same way as the kingdoms and governments in the world. Beloved, avoid the temptation of believing that my kingdom is anything like the world. I am not sending a conquering legion to take over. My kingdom is love, peace, and other-centeredness.
Boy, you know, what stands out for me there is so often I see this tendency of people, and Christians included, to want to rule by power, to rule by dominion, to take over. And that's not the way of Jesus. And, you know, I think it's so important for us to remember that the kingdom that Jesus promised, the kingdom Jesus is bringing into this world, is so often unlike what we see happening around us.
Yeah, well, there you go. Power over and power under. Jesus, certainly the power under variety. And if you're going to be followers of him, there you go. Thank you, friend.
Talk
happy
to you later.
Wordle 1 year anniversary today.
Thank you.
In fact, here's
Thank
the
you.
Crowd. They're going wild. There we go, WWIV. All right, other birthdays on Facebook. We learn about Todd Lenz. Todd, a great brother in the Lord. In fact, I just read a Warren Buffett quote where Warren Buffett said, the three things to look for in people is intelligence, energy, and integrity. And he said, if they don't have that third one, forget the other two. Todd's got all three and a whole lot more. Happy birthday, Todd. Again, longtime science teacher there at Altoona High School. Meanwhile, also, Kristen Dumez, she wrote Jesus and John Wayne with a birthday today. Jennifer Warren, happy birthday. Tiffany Matthews, I see your dad with a big birthday shout-out on Facebook. And Christine Snow Williams. Kevin Smith also with a birthday. I don't know. Go figure. We're Facebook friends, but it's not popping up for me. But I know they got a big birthday celebration. He's got a milestone birthday today, can we just say? Turning the big 4-0. So happy birthday there at Altoona Family Restaurant as you celebrate. I got to do a baseball game, so not going to be able to make it. Meanwhile, Al Pacino turning 84. It seems like he just had a birthday. He did a year ago. Talia Shire from the Rocky movie, 78. Adrian! Yeah. Hank Azaria from The Simpsons. He's the big 6-0, but I remember he also played Mitch Albom in the movie version of Tuesdays with Maury. Gina Torres from Firefly and 911 Low Star, 55. Actress Renee Zellweger. You had me at hello, one of her lines from Jerry Maguire with Tom Cruise, but she's in plenty of other movies, 55. Jason Lee from My Name is Earl and Almost Famous, 54. Daniel Sharman from Fear the Walking Dead, 38. And Jonathan Bailey from Bridgerton, 36. Our promise of the day, 2 Timothy 2:13, even when you're weak in your faith, I will remain faithful to you. So good it's worth repeating. Even when you are weak in your faith, I will remain faithful to you. Check the devotion that goes with it at 365promises.com. And Matthew West, that's the mystery artist who's got a birthday today. He was born on this day in 1977 that makes him, yes, 47 years young. Well, he's our featured artist, lo and behold, during this month of April, final week of this fourth month of the year from WIB Incorporated. Ask for his My Story, Your Glory as you support WIB Incorporated. What is that, Caleb?
Well, why are they cheering for seagulls? Because that's not seagulls. That was a kid, yeah, a nine-year-old kid.
Yeah, that's amazing. A British boy, Cooper Wallace, stole the show with his impressive performance, scoring 92 out of a possible 100. How do you grade that?
Well, so this was the European Seagull Screeching Contest held in Belgium. Had never heard of it before, but color me impressed.
Yeah, that's right. The event, now in its fourth year, brings together gull enthusiasts from around the world to showcase their screeching skills in various categories. Now, does parents have to endure practice?
I guess. I mean, it's maybe the equivalent of if you ever have children who've played the recorder when they're learning.
Right, exactly. Drums, right?
Yeah. There you go. And again, the European Seagull Screeching Contest won by a nine-year-old British boy, Cooper Wallace. And Howell, speaking of some impressive kids, I want to give a shout out this morning to Avail Academy in Fridley, Minnesota, and specifically their cross country team. So Single Mom Saturday is coming up this Saturday, and we have goodie bags, gift bags for each of the 10 moms. But there's something special in each of them this year that comes from the cross country team at Avail. And what they have in there is some medallions that they give out to opponents, usually those who finished last or close to last in some of these massive cross-country races in Minnesota. So Avail's a small academy, a private Christian academy of just 50 students, and a lot of times they're competing against schools of 2,000 or 3,000 students, but the runners will pick out an opposing runner who, again, showed good sportsmanship, finished strong, finished hard, and will give them these beautiful little wooden medallions that say, "Stay strong, you never know who you are inspiring."
Huh.
And so their coach, Coach Dale, heard about Single Mom Saturday, made a generous gift, and also said, "Hey, I was wondering if I could have my kids be a little bit more involved in this. We'd love to be able to send these medallions for the moms to let them know, hey, you never know who you're inspiring." And he said, "I'd also love my girls, the six girls on my cross-country team, to be able to write some personal letters for these moms as well." And so we received those in the mail to give to each of the moms, beautiful letters. And again, for the kids to be able to express not only how these moms are inspiring them, but also to tell them about what Jesus means to them. And so just wonderful. And we're so glad to have these again, to have that incredible personal touch from young people for these gift bags for the moms this year. So I want to give a shout out to, again, the Avail Academy cross-country team. That's Ainsley, Aaliyah, Berean, Christy, Thea, and Zandra, better known as their cross-country nicknames, Salsa, Jimmer, Jax, Minnie, Nader, and Sputnik. Girls, You're inspiring me this morning. Thank you so much for your commitment, your help in serving these wonderful moms and their families for Single Mom Saturday this weekend.
Way to go, girls. We appreciate you.
Hi. I would like to hear Matthews West, Hard Season. If you get a chance, I'd appreciate that. Thank you.
All right, the WIB Wake Up Show, WWIB. We'll get to the tip for parenting, but first, Caleb, Americans apparently are sitting more than ever.
We tell this to you as we sit here in our comfy rolly chairs in the studio.
There we go. I'm standing.
A study found the amount of times Americans spend sitting down has increased by an hour a day in recent years.
Yeah, Americans of all ages increasingly take life sitting down, but the study shows adolescents sit more than other groups.
Well, what's to blame? Kind of everything, Avo.
Yeah, longer commutes.
More TV.
More time on our smartphones and tablets.
So, again, I guess get up. Uh-huh. Get up and
walk the dog.
Get out. There you go. Also, a study looked into the smartphone behavior of caregivers, and you know what? Not the best results from that. And they're saying, kind of the headline, to be a good parent, put down your phone.
Yeah, researchers observed 55 caregivers during meals at various restaurants in the Boston area. 40 of them brought out a device which distracted them in varying degrees from the kids in their care.
Now, distraction's always a battle for caregivers, but researchers say willfully engaging an inanimate object rather than human beings demonstrates on, again, kind of a basic and unscientific level, a lack of compassion, empathy, and responsibility. And they're just kind of saying, hey, just, you know what? Be present, right?
And that's just one setting, right? I mean, it can be, I said it as we were getting ready to pray for a family dinner the other day, and I saw one of my kids with their phone out, and I said, all right, putting phones away and then let into prayer. And I think, you know, whether it's at home or at the restaurant, that's a good idea. Like, don't have access to the phone.
I've seen some restaurants that have a basket, you know, they have baskets for bread and such, but some have a basket for phones. And it's like, hey, just let's all put our phones in the middle of the table here in this basket. And again, enjoy a good meal and a good conversation.
We also have a loneliness epidemic going on. We need each other.
Yes.
Know? More than half of Americans consider what to be their friend?
Their vehicle, their car. Americans spend an average of 18 full days in their car every year.
Yeah, so it's not a surprise that 64% of us consider our car a friend.
Sometimes an unreliable friend, depending on how old that vehicle is. Over a third of Americans would rather themselves get a scratch than their car get a scratch. I can't say I share that sentiment.
Boy, with a vehicle over 2,000 miles, I've got scratches and rust and the whole deal.
I don't want it to get scratched or dinged. Mm-hmm. I don't, but you know what? I kind of prefer to stay healthy myself.
Yeah, yeah. Another 15% would rather break a bone in their own body than their car break down.
Ow.
That's getting a little extreme.
Maybe my pain tolerance is just too low, but it's kind of like, I don't want the bill, but I would rather not break any bones.
Uh-huh.
No, thank you.
Have you ever broken one?
Not diagnosed, but I think so.
Okay.
Yes.
I haven't. No, my kids have, Evelyn particularly, but 1 in 5, more than 20%, 21, would rather spend an entire day in jail than have their car get totaled.
Hmm. Wow, that's something to think about. And a wild 13% of Americans would actually rather break up with their significant other before parting with their car. That is very sad.
My car or you, I'm sorry, but, you know, I love my car. 41% have named their car. I guess, you know, kind of loosely, I've got a, I call my car Granny Gold. I don't know why. I mean, it's just really old. It's 2005, and so, you know, enduring.
I don't know that I have named my car, but sometimes my vehicles have been named for me.
Okay.
You know, and again, usually a lot of inside jokes with that. I do know my sisters tend to name their vehicles. I believe Promise drives a car named Carlos right now, too.
All right. Yeah. In Liberia, that's a thing, naming vehicles. And I know one of our vehicles, we got a number of drivers, one of our cars, which is a 2-year older Honda Accord than mine in 2003, is called the Bomber.
Okay, sure. There you go. Whatever works.
I know.
Hey, if you have a nickname for your car, we'd love to hear it. 715-396-1670.
Hi, my name is Halo, and I live in Eau Claire. And my mom's name is Lacey. And she's super beautiful. And she's very nice. And I love her so much. And her job is the best job ever. And I love when she's always by my side. Bye.
Wow, so great and so sweet here on WWIB, and that is a part of the Let's Take Mom to MyCon contest going on here on WWIB, Caleb, and people calling 396-1670. That was just incredible.
Yeah, from Halo there, thank you so much. And again, the prizes hopefully will be wonderful, but I think sometimes we've already heard from a mom yesterday, too, about how much it meant to her to hear that tribute that I guess she didn't know that her child was leaving on our voicemail line. Maybe Dad had a little hand in getting that left there for us at 396-1670, but just how moving that is. Man, again, you and I know a lot more words of affirmation people, right? Mm-hmm. I think sometimes it's like, oh, well, of course they know that I love them and respect them and cherish them. Well, tell them. And here's a way of doing it publicly as well, too, an honor and tribute to moms. And that's a big part of what the Take Mom to MyCon contest is all about, as it ties in with Unsung Hero, this passion project from For King and Country, as a tribute to their mom, Helen, that we talked to on Monday. Historical markers. You've probably seen them as you're out and about driving in various locales. Maybe you've even made it a point to pull over and stop. But the issue, Halvo, is that apparently, these historical markers may not be accurate, or it may be in contention about how accurate they are.
Yeah, the United States has a lot of these, right? Over 180,000 active historical markers throughout the country, but little in the way of a national policy or code regarding what or who ought to be considered historical.
Or for that matter, that what actually happened and how it's commemorated. For instance, three separate states claim to have the site of the invention of anesthesia. Three different states. I was like, no, it happened here. And we have a marker to prove it.
Oh, boy. That two states claim to have Daniel Boone's bones.
Another two states claim to have sent the first telegram.
And Texas claims to be the site of the first successful airplane flight. Hold, Texas?
I thought that was North Carolina.
I know. Kitty Hawk.
So, well, I mean, again, we've seen some of these things, say, in Tilden and such, too, you know, and Kadat, you know, they have some big signs and historical markers and you know, geographic center, I believe, and all these different things, too. And I've kind of wondered, it's like, well, that's pretty cool that it's here.
Right.
But do any other locales also claim that?
Yeah.
Not sure.
And then there are over 500 markers which describe the Confederacy in glowing terms, and the 70% of markers that mention plantations not mentioning slavery.
Conveniently skipping by that. And, of course, there's plenty of markers, too, that don't even seem to be mentioning history, as there are 14 that memorialize a ghost, two markers about a witch, goodness, one about a vampire, and one about a wizard.
Huh. And California had one that was pretty curious as well.
Commemorating a dead mastodon that upon further analysis turned out to be a dead circus elephant. So it wasn't even a mastodon that perished there in California.
Oh, man. What it reminds me, one of the battles is like, and it doesn't have to be historical markers, like Seymour, Wisconsin claims to be the home of the hamburger.
Oh.
But someplace in Texas does too. So the battles
No, it was definitely
continue.
Seymour.
Yeah, right, for sure. Sorry, Texas, you may be bigger, but it doesn't mean you were first.